This is Embracing Change with Lakrita Bowman and Jennifer Osborne.
Hello, guys. Welcome back to Embracing Change. We are so excited you've joined us. We are on episode 5, and we are continuing our journey on the messages that you've delivered over the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
This one is God's GPS.
Which stands for God's Protective
Systems.
Systems.
Yeah.
And that message came all out of a situation I was in. I was going somewhere, and I was listening to my GPS, and it felt like it was getting me lost. And I just kept feeling the Lord say, "That there lies the problem. You guys can hear me speak. I'm trying to protect you. I'm giving you systems. And you still want to believe your head is, and your head telling you what to do is greater than me telling you what to do."
Yeah.
And that whole message came from that. God's protective systems, meaning being obedient to his voice over, you know, and if it tells me to go left or right or straight or turn this corner, even if I think I know how to get to where I'm going in a quicker, more efficient way, his way is always better than mine.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. And this was a really neat point-by-point message that you delivered to a church on Sunday morning. I do not recall the name of the church, but you guys are going to hear this message, and it will be broken up over 2 episodes because it's rather long, and we do want to be respectful of your time. So you're going to hear it this episode and then the following episode. So we hope you will enjoy God's GPS.
I'm going to open up with some prayer, but my topic is going to be God's protective systems, his GPS. Come on. Because God is trying to get his people somewhere. The question is, where is he trying to get you? Not everything is going to line up the way you want it to, when you want it to, how you want it to. But I am telling you, if you stay the course, come on. You will find the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Amen? So, Father God, right now, we just thank you for your GPS. We thank you for this time. We thank you for this moment. We thank you that you got us here. We thank you that we are here. We may not understand it all, and we may not agree with it all. We may not even like it all. But we know the thoughts that you have toward us are good and not of evil, to get us to a hope and a future. You have a plan, and we must agree with that plan. So, Father God, I ask that you bless this congregation. I ask that you bless the ears to hear. I ask the minds to be aware. I ask the eyes to be able to see, and I ask the understanding to be able to digest it. Lord, I ask that you do through me what you want. It's not about who I am. It's about who you are. And it don't matter what we feel, what we think. It's about what we know. From Genesis to Revelation, your word is true, and it shall not return to you void. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I want us to go. We got our Bibles? Come on. We got our Bibles. I want us to go to Proverbs 3:5-8. Amen? We there? I'm going to have to enable myself here. Let me see how we're doing this. We'll leave that right there for a minute. Huh? I love my friend Billy. We just going to leave that right there. Thank you. Thank you, Billy, for your help. Just because you offered it. Amen? So I want to say this. Let's read this again. Can we stand up in the presence of the Lord to read his word? Because we can wait on everybody. How many of us got the word? How many of us got it? See, love. Come on. Amen. Thank you. Now that's what I'm talking about. We got 2 or 3 things going on here. Amen. Thank you, brother. He said if I need anything, ask him. Amen. Amen. GPS. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Can we say amen to the reading of his word? Amen. I want to ask us today, when I define using God's protective systems, what it means to me. It means letting go of my own way of thinking. Come on now. It means letting go of what I perceive to be right in my own eyes. Then I'm going to tell you something. I'm in a situation, you know, right now in my life, and I was telling my friend Geneva, I said, you know, I'm in a season right now. For the last couple of years, every now and then I go get an oil change. How many of us go get an oil change? See, I go check myself in rehab. When I say rehab, that means rehabilitation to make sure that there's nothing left or continuing in the direction I should not go. Come on, so I go into counseling about every 2 years, because when you come from where I've come from, there's always patterns of behaviors, come on, that come up on us and we ain't even consciously aware of those patterns, and then we wonder why we do what we do, why we go where we go, why we say what we say, because we ain't changed the pattern of our thinking. Come on, we may have changed our location. Come on now. I may have put on some different clothes. I might live in a different house. I may be married now where I was single. And I may be, you know, got a little money where I was poor. I might have did all of those things. But if I don't change my thinking, honey, I'm just a made up mess. And so I'm learning that my GPS is God's protective systems. He's got some principles in which he asks us to operate in. Come on now. I know that in this life right now, the territory that came for me is rejection. Come on. It is relationships. My Achilles heel, come on now, is relationships. Let me explain to you what I mean. Let me break it all the way down to you. See, when I was born, my mother made a decision, I'm sure, before I came out of her womb, that she was going to not keep me, that she was not going to nurture me, that she was going to do something different. Because, see, there comes a time in our lives that a mother can put you in their womb, but there is another woman who will put you in her heart. Come on now. And so in that moment, when that happened, the enemy, just like it talks about in Revelation, the demons were sitting, the dragons were sitting waiting for the mother to give birth, because he could take her off and run with her. And so most of my life, relationships has been my Achilles heel. And so what I'm saying to say, this is my location in my thinking. So it's always me against you, baby. I'm always coming after you. I'm always going to be 5 days ahead of you. Because see, when I see you coming, I'm already doing like this. I'm already planning it out. I'm already strategically seeing who you are. Oh, yeah. See, I'm going to see if you're going to hurt me. And if I think you're going to hurt me, I'm going to get you before you get me. Now, I don't know where you come from, but I'm just telling you the patterns of my thinking. And I'm telling you, so most of my life has been spent in how do I deal with relationships? But what I had to find out in the last 2 years, come on now, it's not the relationship with you that I got to deal with. It's the relationship I got with me. Because, see, the reality of it is, my GPS, which is my God's protective system, said to me one day, come here, baby girl, come here. You've been fighting something that I created in you to have. And until you settle yourself down, and it ain't about you trusting me no more, it's about me trusting you. So can I trust you to settle yourself down long enough? Come on now. in order for me to begin to talk to you about the things about you. See, too often in this walk, I have come to a place that we like to talk about everybody else. Me and my daughter was sitting there and I said, Lord, deliver me from my critical spirit. And the reason I say that is because for me, I think I know everything. So I'm a judge of things quick. Count it up, put it in a bowl, and then give it to somebody else and explain it to them so they will believe that it's the right thing. Can we tell the truth? And so in these moments of my life in this last 2 years, I've had to settle myself down and get centered. Come on. I had to learn how to breathe again. Most of us come in this world surviving, not thriving. And there comes a time in our lives that God will call us down and say, sit down, I need to teach you how to start living. And so in this last 2 years, I went to counseling. And I'm going to be honest with you, I went because I want to talk about somebody else. Most of the time when we go get help, we think it's somebody else's fault. And so I'm going to be honest, I have a husband that's home that's not feeling well. And I wanted to go because, you know, after being married for 24 years, I kind of want to know, how can I change him? Every now and then we want to know how we can change other people, amen? So when I went into the counseling session, I remember being so irritated, not just with my husband and not just with a co-laborer and just not with the place I was in, because I do believe that before God begins to allow you, life comes in to irritate you. See, because most of us won't move out of our location on our own. If something has to be created in us, it's almost like an irritant. You know what I mean? Like the pearl that we talk about, and it just keeps getting washed up, and then it gets irritated. And then finally, we'll decide to do something different. And so I was just being irritant, like, oh my God, Lord, help me, help me, help me, help me. And he said, thank you, because you invited me in. I've been knocking at the door, and you opened it. And now I'm coming in. So I get in counseling, and I begin to talk to the counselor, and I begin to tell her what's going on. And she began to say to me, I think that you're here because God is trying to relocate you. He's trying to realign you with you, not you with other people. See, I've been doing ministry by the grace of God for like 23 years. But see, the father that I know knew he had to put something in my hand just to keep my attention. Because I'm busy. I'm creative. Oh, yeah, I am, honey. I'm going to come up with some stuff quick. And so he knew that he had to put something in my hand because he wanted me to be able to utilize the gifts he gave me. But he also knew that he was going to be able to come to me at a present time and I would be willing to lay it down on the altar. See, ministry don't make you who you are. Come on. Doing ministry don't give you your identity. Your identity is in him. And some of us, I don't know, maybe it ain't your story, but I'll talk about my story. How about that? My story, ministry became who I was. Because see, when you come from where I came from, I talked about relationships, and I'm going to go back there. When you come from where I came from, I realized that for me, relationships was a kind of thing that if I couldn't control it, I didn't want it. Well, now my name is Lakrita, and I'm being consistently delivered from control. Come on. And what is control? It's mismanaging your gifts, trying to control something outside of yourself, and trying to make everybody line up with you to make you feel good about you. That's what control is. But self-control is the fruit of a spirit. So therefore, I'm to control me. So now I'm in counseling, and the counselor is saying, maybe the Lord is asking you to control you. Maybe he's asking you to be quiet when you want to talk. Maybe he's asking you to sit still when you want to stand up. he's asking you to stop spending because he wants you to give somewhere else. Maybe he's asking you to not eat certain things because he knows what's best for your health. Because I'm telling you, health is the new wealth.
Oh, yes, it is.
It don't matter how much money you got. If you won't have the health to spend it, then what good does it have for you? So anyway, so I'm believing he's teaching me, like, okay, well, maybe I need to, like, set it down, shut it out. But when you've been talking most of your life, even if you ain't saying nothing. When you've been talking most of your life, even when you ain't saying nothing, it's hard to be quiet. Because something in you believes that what you're saying is more important than everybody else. Now those who I have served with and those who I have served that knows me, knows that I like to be right.
I hear
you. I like to be right. And this, what I'm learning is to be right means to consider other people as well. Relationship. Because two people can be right at the same time. But because I'm such a fighter by nature, I'm such a survivor by nature, it's my way or the highway. Those who know me. But I'm learning that there's two people can be right at the same time about the same situation. But because I'm such a black and a white thinker, come on, I'm such an absolute person that gray ain't even in the equation. So 2 years ago, I got introduced to gray. Gray means that I'm different from you and you're different from me, and you put black and white and a little shade of gray together and you get a different color. Come on. And so that means that not necessarily I am the person that has to be right. So when I'm getting in the counseling session and she begins to tell me that I think we need to look at you, maybe it's time for you to control you. So I had to discover that using the following is a thing that God has continued to teach me my location. The first thing is willingness. Come on. Because before we can change anything or before we can acknowledge anything, we got to be willing. I'm always praying, Lord, give me the willingness to shut my mouth. Give me the willingness to shut down my thoughts. Because even if I don't say it, Lord, people can see it all over my face. So it's just as bad, I might as well go on and say it. So Lord, change my positional thinking to the point that people can't even read what I'm thinking. So give me the willingness, Lord. The next one is, Lord, teach me your word in a way. Come on, then I just don't know the Bible. I know the intent behind it. Come on. Your word, not just the Bible. See, some of us will read the Bible, 365 and all Bible, and forget the word that we read. Lord, I want to know how to live your word, not just read your Bible. Come on. Lord, I want to know what it's like to be in relationship with your Holy Spirit. Meaning that when I hear that still small voice, come on, if we all look at our lives, half of us got in messes because we overrode that voice. That little voice that's saying, don't do that. Don't say that. Don't go there. Get away from them people. Run. Walk. Turn around. Stop. Stop. Come on, I got a little sign that says that, you know, or if you hear something that says, no. Sometimes God is just saying, on this thing called life right here. So let's be patient. Let me groom you. And most of the time, the Holy Spirit, when he comes in, he is dealing with us about us. He's just using somebody else to sharpen us. But we so busy focused on them, at least I am. That's my story. I'm sticking to it. See, it is easier to look at you than to get that mirror and look at me. Because I am required to deal with me, not you. So then I learned that there is, you know, I used to hear Maze. How many people know Maze? Joy and pain. Sunshine and rain. Come on. So that meant that there was two. So the Lord began to show me, Lucreta, there's discipline and there's pain. They work together. The pain brings the discipline. But you got to be willing, come on, to feel the pain. Most of us don't like to feel uncomfortable. Honey, let us get 5 minutes of feeling like we're suffering. We'll figure out some kind of way or some distraction. I know I will. This may not be your story, but it's mine. These are my 2 years of counseling. She began to tell me that you say you're so disciplined. You say you understand pain. But I don't think so. Because just about when the Father is asking you to get on the surgery table of the sacrificial offering, you jump off and find some other reason, come on now, to find something else to do. Because you know that he goes and touches that area of your life, it's going to cost you something. And usually it's going to cost you. Most of us want it to cost everybody else. Make me feel good. Make me feel loved. Make me feel okay. Make me feel like you appreciate it. Make me feel like you care. Oh, make me feel like we're friends. Oh, make me feel. And the Lord is saying, what about you making yourself feel? Let's feel long enough to make you feel okay about you. What about that? My God! Somewhere I had this misidentified perception that people were just like me. Now, why did I believe that? Like, I got it going on or something. But you know how we do. We believe that we can control the world where people just thinking like us, feeling like us, receiving like us, the world would just be a better place. But the Lord showed me no. In that counseling session, he said, no. I knew you would disappoint me, Lucreta, the day I created you in your mother's womb. I knew you would hurt my heart. You would disappoint me. You would spit in my face. Come on. You would turn to your own wickedness. You would do what you want to do, how you want to do it, when you want to do it, who you want to do it to. And yet I still said yes. I still said yes. Even when I knew you would hurt me, Lucreta, you would disappoint me. You would not dot all your I's and cross all your T's. I still said yes. In the Garden of Gethsemane. So you've got to learn how to still say yes to people. Come on. Even when they let you down. Because unconsciously, I'm going to just be honest with you. I wasn't conscious that I was doing it. It was an unconscious decision that I would begin to count people out and count people down when they would disappoint me or hurt me. Because it was the way I thought I was protecting myself. I thought that I was protecting me by doing it. But really what I was doing was hurting me. Because if I would let them get in deep enough, they could teach me something. But I was too busy trying to protect my own emotions against them. Come on. But the reality of love is an action word. It's not a feeling. that I had to learn how to be about action, not just deeds. Can I get real? Can I get naked and unashamed? Can I just take off all my clothes and like Adam was in the Garden of Eden and just get naked and unashamed with you? Now, I don't know your story, but I'm going to tell you mine. What I learned in that counseling session was this. Most of the stuff I did was what I could get out of it. I always looked at my life and seen, how does this benefit me? And if we be honest, if we get real naked and unashamed, most of us live out of that place, even with our best intentions. I was always looking at, how is this going to benefit me? Even ministry, I don't care what nobody say now, I'm just keeping it real. Because if I needed to be more in charge and letting the Spirit of the Lord be in charge, then guess what? I was always looking at how it's going to benefit me. What is it going to give me? What is it going to feel me? What is it going to give me? How is it going to make me feel good about me? What affirmation is it going to give me? What? Come on. Because when we're broken in certain areas of relationships with ourselves, we're always looking to be healed by something outside of ourselves. And so I had to learn in this moment, that day I'll never forget, I was weeping on the floor when my counselor said to me, she said, let me ask you, what's your motivation? Why do you do what you do, and what do you get out of it? Because nobody does anything without some kind of way benefiting. I don't care what we say, how holy we think we are. I don't care how we think we do. We, all of us, are looking for something. We're in relationship with most people because we're seeing what they can fulfill in us. Even our children. Amen? Most of the time, even with our own children, we find ourselves making decisions for them because we so busy worrying about if they make the wrong decision. Come on now. How is it going to affect me? What is everybody going to say about me if my son does this or if my daughter does this? What is it going to say about me? Because guess what? We always got me on our minds. Instead of we, which is me turned upside down. But most of us got me on our minds. And so I have had, when she told me that, she said, so I need you to go away and write about, what's your motivation? Why are you doing what you're doing? And the list that the Holy Spirit gave me, now don't get me wrong, anything good that came out of it had nothing to do with me. So if you sit here and say, well, you know, those of you who know me well, then I've seen you do good things. Praise the Lord. So if you got any benefit out of any good thing that you think I've done, I'm telling you that the Holy Spirit showed me my motivation. And he then wanted to change why I do what I do. When I do what I do. Who I do it with. And what am I looking for? Because freely given, freely received. If I learn how to just do it because it's the best thing and the highest good, I don't have to worry about the results. Come on. Most of us who do it with certain motives, we also worry about the outcome. That's how he showed me. He's like, you've been worrying about how that makes you look, how that makes you feel, what's going to come out, what is the end result, what's the measurement, how you going to... And so I said to him, well, teach me another way.
Hi guys. Every week we get the honor of spending time with you, sharing our hearts and offering insights into all the ways we get turned around as people, and hopefully showing an escape route to better choices. Another place that is offering the same type of path for better opportunities is City Gospel Mission. Since 1924, they've been a beacon of hope to the homeless, those recovering from life-controlling issues, youth, and to those needing job services. If you'd like to volunteer or donate, you can visit www.citygospelmission.org. That is www.citygospelmission.org. Thanks. You've been listening to the Embracing Change podcast. Music production and mastering by Gone Coastal Productions. Podcast editing and production by Jennifer Osborne. Podcast copyright 2021 by Lacreta Bowman.